Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Inference, where we talk about programming languages and other fun stuff. Today I'm really happy to have with us a software architect, an expert in functional programming, a book author, Alexander Granin. Welcome Alexander, how are you?
Hi Michael, thank you for asking me to join to this podcast. It's very interesting.
Thank you. My pleasure. I would like to start by asking you who you are, what you are doing, and how you got there, meaning how you started writing functional code.
Yeah, as you said, I am a very big fan of functional programming, and it all started maybe 10 years ago. And actually, I was a mainstream developer at that time, like a C++ developer. Later on C# developer and a little bit of Python, because, you know, in production you have to deal with different languages, and that's what we actually had in our code bases. Haskell was my hobby and functional programming was my hobby maybe for 7 years or so. And I did a lot of interesting things in this area for myself and for the community. For example, I've been leading some meetup here in Siberia about functional programming. And I was giving talks, and I'm still doing that. It's actually started all very simply. I read some article about Haskell, didn't understand it, and it was like a challenge to try to understand what's happening there in the functional programming world. And I started learning Haskell. It was 1 week of a real pleasure to learn Haskell, because everything was so... So right from the start, so concise, so conscious, and I loved Haskell from the first sight.
Okay, so you're now writing Haskell code for a living. I mean, is that your first, your main stack during your current job?
Yeah. I'm a software consultant. I believe it's not a really rare case in the Haskell community, because we mostly have several big consultancies, and I write for different companies. Currently, it's an Indian company, financial company, and actually, I'm not just a Haskell developer, right? As you mentioned it, I wrote a book about functional design and architecture, in which I'm providing new ideas of software engineering in Haskell and in functional programming in general, some methodology based on free monads, and a lot of stuff. I believe this stuff was like ignored in the Haskell community, and there was a big gap.
Okay, thank you. Why do you think that that topic was ignored by the Haskell community?
Well, from my experience, when I was interacting with the community like 5 years ago, or maybe even 7 years ago, I've noticed that the community is very focused on some cool things like category theory, like mathematics related to functional programming, lambda calculus, other calculi, and type theories. It was really, really interested in learning the surface of scientific functional programming, and very encouraged to do so. But the things I am talking about in my book are all about practice, about industry usage of functional programming. And this kind of knowledge, which wasn't in the focus of the community, because it sounds so mainstreamly, so I would say maybe even dirty if we take it into quotes, because
okay.
you have to solve real problems. You don't need to think about too much math. You don't need to challenge your mind with difficult but interesting things. You just need to solve problems in the business world. So
yeah.
The majority of community just wasn't interested in this topic, and therefore it had such a big gap there.
Okay, got it. We will be back on the community later on during the episode. For now, I would like to ask you, given that you're also a mainstream programming language, let's say developer, given that you wrote C++ and C# and a bit of Python code, what did you find in functional programming that you couldn't find in other, paradigms or even languages?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, actually. And well, in reality, when I was a C++ developer, when I was learning C++, I realized that many techniques I use for my day-to-day life have something in common with functional programming. Even before it became mainstream. For example, I was trying to avoid mutable state because it makes my program a little bit cleaner. Even in C++, it makes sense in sometimes. Yeah, mostly you want to mutate things in place because it's much more benefitable by performance, but sometimes you can go more immutable, for example, in the concurrent environment, and it will be much simpler. Yeah, I also loved the idea of domain specific languages and started creating many DSLs for my work, because we had some rules and we needed to write a lot of XML for these rules, and it all can be turned into short DSLs without writing all those XML trees, big trees. It will be more simple, and we did that. And I realized that many techniques, as Purity in this, for example, were very close to what functional programming does, right? And when I started learning Haskell, it wasn't a big problem for me, because I was quite prepared to these new notions, to this new philosophy. In general, I strongly believe that having several concepts from functional programming in your code makes your code better. Yeah.
Okay, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And okay, what was the hardest part of learning Haskell coming from mm-hmm. C++, C# and other languages?
Yeah, it was C++ at that time. And when I tried to switch to Haskell, it was a big problem. Well, yeah, there was certainly a problem to learn monads. It took like 6 months to grasp the general idea, but before that I was capable to at least use some of the monads, like IO monad. I didn't understand what it does, and I could not explain how to write your own monads. To be honest, I can't explain how to write your brand new monads today, because it's a very scientific question. But monads were a little bit a challenge. And I guess another big challenge was the lack of resources on how to solve day-to-day tasks with Haskell, because everything was so distinct, so separated from each other. Separate pieces about some interesting cool math stuff, but nothing you could take as a methodology, nothing you could take and write your own software for something, for example, for command line application. You need to invent the structure of your application, the tools to hide complexity, the tools to do interfaces and implementation, separation, etc. It was a problem. Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned the lack of resources for learning Haskell. So have you ever had a chance to ask for community support for learning Haskell? And did you find any problem in the community at this step of your, you know, career path?
I probably not that very typical person, and I'm not asking people to help that much because, yeah, I know how valuable it is, but I the community was not very pleasant that time because they were talking about so high level and so mathy stuff mostly, and I didn't understand it, and I don't understand it yet, and I just was afraid to ask something. It looks like you want to have interfaces in your functional programming code, in your Haskell code, for example, but you will immediately get an answer. Go to Java. Interfaces are in Java, and Haskell World doesn't need interfaces. But this means that people don't they then confuse interfaces as OOP interfaces as a keyword, right? And interfaces as an idea. And this was the problem with the community, and I just was afraid to ask something. There were some topics I could ask questions, for example, how to what I can use for JSON parsing, for example. That's local questions, not about general questions. And when I asked general questions, how to structure your application, how to do database stuff, how to integrate it into your program, how to design your program, that was why do you need that? We are in Haskell. That's mainstream nonsense, and we don't need it here. Just use category theory. It's all there.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I got the same experience in the past, and for what I see, it seems like that the Haskell community, in particular, it's full of people with a high knowledge of the topic. And many people always think that you should already be at that level of knowledge in order to assess Haskell. And I see that as a problem because it keeps the community smaller. So why do you think that? That is my personal opinion, of course, but why do you think that there is such a problem in the community?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the times are changing, I believe. And we probably see a big shift from this isolated reasoning of the Haskell community to more open reasoning, to more open mind, to even the ideas we have in dirty mainstream. And the reasons why it was so, yeah, pretty much the same. I know I will get some negative reviews on my opinions, but still I believe it holds. People in the Haskell community, majority of people in the Haskell community, were like hobbyists, enthusiasts, and they weren't production developers. And a big majority of the community was scientific people, right? And they have a separate idea on how to interpret the work developers do, and they have own idea what developers should do. They think that we need to improve our world, but that's an ideal proposition, right? Idealistic, or how to say, a proposition of believing to a better world. Still, we need to deal with our not well organized and sometimes painful world, and we need to solve business problems, and that's quite a different value system from what the community was exposing that time.
Okay.
And that was the main reason, I guess.
Okay, great. Do you think that we can encounter the same problems in other programming languages communities, let's say Scala developers community, or you know, OCaml community? Do you think mm-hmm. that this is something really related to Haskell, or you know, in functional programming in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also a good question. And actually, Haskell is like a pure functional programming, like right? It's a language yeah. which shows how functional programming can what it can be, right? In its essence. But I guess these same problems can be applied can be found in other communities. Maybe in Scala it's not that sharp. The problem is not that sharp because Scala initially from the start was positioned as a language to combine OLP and FP. And Martin Adersky works hard to join the two worlds. And the very idea of having a FP and a mainstream practices right from the start formed a community which is okay to the ideas of this solving problems instead of doing the world better. I guess we can find a lot of different sub-communities in the Scala world. There are scientific people there are business people, and actually people can write in Haskell in Scala three ways. Scala as a better Java, like just another syntax with pattern matching, with better types, algebraic data types. Scala as Scala with own ideas like implicits, maybe for comprehension and something around that. And Scala as Haskell, which is more functional and tries to borrow ideas from Haskell. So the Scala community is really big. It's okay. times bigger than Haskell community. Maybe two times bigger, or maybe 10 times. I guess it's 10 times bigger, something like that. And you can meet any opinion there. And fortunately, they managed to live together without exposing this. Oh, you are doing something mainstreamly, something dirty. We won't talk about that in our community. It's not our interest. You probably won't find this attitude in the Scala community that much. Maybe there is one something, but not that much as in Haskell. What about other languages? C++ has a real story of functional programming integrating into it, because there are features which came with new standards. You know, for example, Lambdas came with C++ 11, and it was like, well, game-changing experience, I guess, because you could define your processing collections with Lambdas is much simpler than with loops sometimes. And that okay. was just you know, the start in 2011. But later on in C++ 20, they implemented ranges, which is a massively functional library for composing functions to process data structures and containers. And what you did by loops and by iterating over containers you can now do as people do in C Sharp with Link. So functional programming comes to mainstream languages in different forms. And I actually like to watch this process because it shows how mindset of people is changing with time. And sometimes it's changing to the point when people start writing in a really different manner than they used to do before that. For example, in C#, Link changed the way how we process collections, and it's much more convenient. And I don't see that there is a person who doesn't like that. However, you can probably see it such a thing. Yeah,
absolutely. And talking again about not about the community, but the popularity of languages. The reason why Scala community is times bigger than the Haskell one, it's clear. It is a JVM language, so it's more popular by default, I would say. But why do you think that functional programming took much longer to become such popular? So what happened during the last years that made functional programming fun and, you know, attracting again?
That's an interesting story of how our software development industry evolved with time, right? And actually, functional programming was born like much before OOP, right? Because there was
absolutely
Lisp, and in 1960s, and it started being functional after several years. And OOP was born like in 80s, 10 years later. But OOP managed to become a dominant paradigm in 90s. And I believe there was a reason, and the reason was OOP defined how to solve business problems. And companies realized that there is a way to make development cheaper and more convenient with OOP, whereas FP was flying in the skies about abstract things, about math, about making computer science more complete and more rich without touching the needs of business. And this is why it could not grow like crazy. And finally, OOP started solving a lot of problems of business, like how you can separate things in your application to make it more long-living and easily changeable. It's always a question of design, of course. OOP doesn't have a magic way which does your program good automatically. And FP neither has this property as well. But there were methodologies people managed to elaborate to show that there is a path you can follow and get something working. And this will allow you to get money quicker, to produce a product quicker, to have it with in line with your requirements and more or less good quality. And this is why it became popular, because the industry world was growing like crazy in 90s. It was a new field of economics, right? And the potential of IT sector was really big. Whereas the scientific part of our activity, like functional programming in particular, stayed on the same level of, there were just the same amount of people, I guess, more or less in that field, and it cannot grow that much. So OOP won that battle. And what happened next is that people realized the computers become more performant, and they got more cores, and they and people need to solve even more bigger problems like big data analysis and tons of clients to support. You can certainly do this with OOP, but some people found ways to do it better with functional programming because, for example, there is a technology from Google, MapReduce, which is in the core of their search engine. And the very name of this technology points to the functional programming essence. Map is getting a collection and iterating over it in a functional way to transform it into another collection. And reduce is to reduce this collection into a single value, maybe according to some rule or function. So you transform your collection to a single value, to a single statistics, to single characteristics you need right now, and this is a very functional procedure. So this was like one of the main application points for functional programming, and it started to be more popular, and most of the libraries and features which came to the languages are about data processing, and some of them also about concurrency and parallel processing of data. Functional programming makes concurrency much, much easier. This is my experience from C++ and from Haskell and from C#. It's not a very spread knowledge because I guess most people just don't do multi-threading programming at all in their life. But sometimes you want to utilize your computer very, very intensively, and this all starts playing its own role.
Okay, got it. So you've identified two different reasons why functional programming wasn't so popular back, let's say, in the 90s, on the 80s. But today, we can solve real-world problems with functional programming. And also, we have access to more computing power, meaning that we can easily parallelize our code, running multi-thread programs, or even distributed software. And functional programming can make this even easier, let's say, thanks to the paradigm and the way we write programs. So that makes sense. And so do you think that's one of the reasons why many languages, such as C++, PHP, Python, and even Java, are now implementing functional features such as, generic types or lambda functions, or a functional interface for Java with MapReduce streams and stuff like that. So do you think that now it's time to move to a new paradigm for solving industry problems?
Yeah, thank you for this question. And well, first of all, there is a person who believes that that notion of paradigm is obsolete. It's Vitaly Brogilevsky. He says, paradigms were a thing in the 90s and zeros, but today languages get becoming multi-paradigm, and so it doesn't make sense to speak about paradigms in separate. It's mostly like a mix of those paradigms in real life. So we can talk about different styles of programming, right? A functional style, declarative style, imperative, OOP style, to do things, a logical style. But paradigms mostly get obsolete. This is a very interesting point of view, and I believe it's true to the sense that even in C++, we see how different paradigms reflect each other. For example, it was realized that templates for generic programming in C++ is not just a metaprogramming paradigm there. It's a paradigm which is really related to what we do in Haskell. And these interconnections were one of the interesting findings that of those times. And why languages derive these new features? Well, yes, because the world becomes multi-paradigm, and because I believe OLP is stuck in its development 10, maybe 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and languages want to evolve, and they want to make the life of developers easier. Several features from FP are very good, like algebraic data types, and you know, even C Sharp implemented records recently. It's immutable structures for keeping data. There were structures, there were classes, but now it's also records, a part of algebraic data types, and pattern matching, of course. So the developers of languages, like creators of languages, they see all these trends in the functional world, and they feel how the community demands for these features. Not the whole community, of course. There are always a division into early adopters and laggards, so-called, because there is a diagram of adoption cycle. But the more people started wanting these features, the less chances to avoid it the creators of languages had. So it's now like a demand from the development world. You cannot avoid it. And to be said, Scala and JavaScript, in my opinion, are the two languages which brought functional programming into mainstream. Not Haskell. Absolutely. Yeah, not Clojure, not Erlang, JavaScript and Scala.
Yeah, I have to confirm that, because when I started to look into Haskell and Erlang mainly, that was because I was writing JavaScript code with React. And yeah, Facebook said, okay, you have to write functional code in JavaScript for writing proper React interfaces. And I was like, okay, what does functional programming means? And then went through, you know, Haskell, OCaml, and Erlang for learning more about functional programming. So that's absolutely true. And one last question before going into the conclusion for this episode. Do you think that, you know, having multi-paradigm languages or languages becoming multi-paradigm can make life harder to new developers or even people who has only worked with, let's say, object-oriented C-sharp? Do you think that it can be harder for them to get started with multi-paradigm languages or getting started with, a hybrid between functional and object-oriented paradigm in, let's say, C-sharp, which is a great example, but it can be Python or C++, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, bringing more features into a language, into a particular language, doesn't make it easier to learn. It makes it harder to learn. We can watch the story of C++, which is the most difficult language, industrial language out there, in my opinion. And when you start learning C++, even C++ of the 90s, you can easily draw in the number of features there. You can easily get lost in how to do things and how to solve problems, either with metaprogramming or with templates or with bare functions in classes and etc. A lot of features, and it makes learning path really difficult. And more features are coming, more learning paths could be possible. That's a question of how to organize the learning process. What is your goal? For example, if you want to quickly jump into some production code, it makes sense to learn only those concepts which are used in that code base. At least it gives you some time to work with that base easily, and you can learn other things a little bit later. I believe programming languages try to do try to implement those features in a more convenient way to learn. For example, Rust, a very interesting case here, because when they implement some feature, they immediately propose a way to learn it. There is no feature which could be accepted without this learning idea. There are always a few words on how we should approach its learning. So they, they bother about learning a lot. But most of languages just give you something, and you have to find your own way, or maybe ask someone how to get through it, because the number of features is really big. Fortunately, once you learn something in one language, something high level like lambdas, you can easily borrow this knowledge into another language, because the difference is mostly syntactic. Yes, it's semantic difference also, but mostly you need to recognize at least this feature in other environment, and you can easily do that.
Okay, yeah, you mean the idea behind the lambda, taking the lambda as an example, it's the same in all languages, because that's how you write anonymous functions, of course. Okay, so going into conclusion, thank you again for your explanations. I think that was a very valuable chat. And what are your thoughts about the future of functional programming and functional programming community in general? I mean, I can guess what are your thoughts given, you know, the talk we have until now, but if you can summarize your ideas for the futures of programming and community, what would you say?
Yeah, I see an idea in the communities that we need to simplify our tools, and we need to make it easier and cheaper, because the farther we are moving in history, the bigger our systems became, or like we need to solve artificial intelligent problems right now, big problems processing data and etc. And we don't want to spend a lot of time in learning, because it's so it doesn't make that much sense, because people in closest stack sets may do things faster than we. And therefore we see Go language, which is simplified and easy to jump in. So there is a certain movement to make things simpler, because it's much cheaper and faster. And at the same time, functional programming is still in its own evolving path, and there are rooms to go to, like dependent types in Haskell, for example, a very big theme. And we are still exploring this ground. Functional programming is not stuck as OOP. In OOP, I don't really think there is something to invent. It's all already there.
Okay.
What about industry? We will see how functional languages become a bit more popular, but not like not very much, because OOP will stay a dominant paradigm. And I guess this can be changed. OLP will be dominant paradigm, but
okay.
Multi-paradigm idea is certainly there, and we will see more comings into languages, maybe more convenient algebraic data types in C++, why not, and more features into C# and in Java.
Okay, so yeah, thank you. That was a real pleasure to have you here, and thank you for your thoughts and your knowledge, of course, and your commitment to the community for, spreading functional programming knowledge and writing books and doing talks. I cannot thank you enough for that. So really hope to have you here for another episode in the future. And thank you. See you next time.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.